Okay, folks, hi there once again, Elvin Shamroth here. For another teleseminar, this one was delayed a week because last week, Sunday, I was busy giving our Texas construction course in Baltimore. We really had a great course, and everyone was really thrilled at what they heard. And if you are still planning on attending, we don't have any more live in-person courses, but it is available online. And I am going to tell you it's really worthwhile to watch and get this. But what's more important is if you are planning on watching, purchasing the course and watching it, I would strongly encourage you to do it as soon as possible, because it will have a dramatic impact on the way you collect and input your cases. So much for that. Again, as I always say, because we're always having new people signing in every week, this is unrehearsed. I've got one person who submitted a case that he or she was concerned about, and we're going to talk about that. But where the conversation will go, I really don't know. As I say, it's unrehearsed, and it just we'll see where it takes us. The key thing is I will make sure it stays relevant to everyone, not just the person whose case we're discussing. So let's start and see Riley. Riley, are you there by any chance? Riley? I don't hear Riley. All right. If she should join us, I will probably get a notification, and we'll welcome her in. But in her absence, I'm just going to read to you folks what she said in the email. She says the following: I'm wondering how best to document this complex patient case on my list. There was a patient admitted to the internal medicine service for sepsis, found to have a vulvar abscess that I performed a vulvar abscess IND on hospital day number one. She has many medical problems and ended up developing other abscesses in her vulva, as well as other soft tissue locations that were drained by either my OBGYN colleagues or general surgery. She was in the hospital for over a month. I was only involved in the care on the day of my incision and drainage. She then goes on to say how she was planning on writing this down on paper. So in the and I wanted you to hear all of this, because there's a very relevant point I'm going to make. And this is the point really, which is going to be the theme of today's session. For all of you. It's not just Riley. This is relevant for every single person submitting a case list. So in the preoperative diagnosis column, she writes, vulvar abscess, sepsis, type 2 diabetes mellitus, end-stage renal disease on dialysis, coronary artery disease with stents, BMI 42, prior history of vulvar abscess, requiring incision and drainage. That's all in the preoperative diagnosis column. But then in the treatment column, she writes, vulvar abscess, incision and drainage. Co-management with internal medicine, infectious disease, and general surgery. In the surgical pathology, just gives a culture result, multi-drug resistant E. coli. Complications. Development of additional abdominal wall, vulvar, and buttocks abscesses requiring three additional incision and drainage procedures by colleagues. And the last thing she writes here, vulva, it's in the category of vulvar emergencies, including Bartholin's gland, duct abscesses, and vulvar abscess. So the point that I want to make here, medically speaking, this is obviously a very sick woman, very complicated case, multiple physicians, multi-specialty management, and the candidate's role in all of this was really very simple. It was 3%, one day out of a month, and all she did was she stabbed an abscess, basically. I'm overstating the case. but her role was, relative to what was going on, very small. So how do we put this on? There are a couple of issues. I'm pretty sure, as I was reading what she wrote down on paper, I may have lost a fair number of you, because the presentation went on and on. There's a lot of wordage that she's put down on paper here. And this is a key, vital, important, critical aspect of cases construction. You've got to be word poor and use as few words as you can in getting it down. And the reason I say that is twofold. Number one, and if you understand what's going on in the examiner's mind, it'll make sense to you. Number one, if you give your examiner an essay to read for each and every patient, they're going to get exhausted and more significantly frustrated, because they don't have the time to go through the 150, 170 cases on your list. Or let's say they're only going through 60, because they're each doing OB. But 60 on your list plus the other 60 on the other five candidates that they're examining that day. They don't have the time to read this extent of writing. So you've got to be very, very word poor to prevent yourself from frustrating your examiner. You've got to make it easy for your examiner to examine you. You've got to make them like you. And if you're going to, that sounds trite, but if you're going to make them read an essay just to be able to ask you questions, they're not going to like you. So that's point number one. Point number two, because it's so long-winded, they're not going to read it. So those of you that have joined me on previous sessions, teleseminars, I may have shared with you how easy it is to predict the questions based on what and how you write your cases up in your case list. And those of you that have already come to our cases construction course, I went into substantial detail on how you can predict the questions on your cases. It's actually not difficult. Now, coming back to this presentation, if you're going to write so much down on paper that the examiner's not going to read it, you can't predict the questions, because they're not going to read it. They're just going to maybe see one or two words, and they'll ask you questions off the top of their head. They're not going to read it. And the whole predicate on which being able to predict your questions is based is on the assumption that the examiner is going to read your case list. If they're going to read your case list and you've used few words and highlighted key words, that's going to plant a seed in the examiner's mind. And it's from that seed in their mind is going to grow the questions they're going to ask. So if they don't read the case, you can't predict the questions. It's as simple as that. And so I feel very strongly about this issue. And the way I put it is as follows. I think we may just have had Riley join us. Let me just see. Riley, are you there by any chance? Riley?
Hi, yes, hello? I am late.
Okay, fine. So listen, you can thanks for joining us. You can go back and listen to the archive, but I'm happy that you hear this far. In essence, I've read to them what you wrote and your concern and the actual case, what you wrote down in the patient. And the point that I was about to make is this: what goes down on paper is only the bare bones skeleton of the case, and even then, you only mention words that are essential and will direct the conversation to a discussion that you want to have. And I'll make examples of this, okay? And I'm pleased that Riley joined us because we can actually do this interactively. It'll be that much more beneficial to everyone. So what goes down on paper is only the skeleton. If you write everything down on paper, you've left yourself nothing to say because it's all written down. The examiner can see everything. So the key thing, the key takeaway from today's teleseminar is what goes down on paper is only the skeleton, and it should leave a little bit of curiosity and ambiguity in the examiner's mind by design. And it's from that ambiguity and curiosity that the examiner will then ask you questions to seek clarification as to what's going on. And if you write your cases up appropriately, those questions that they will ask will be the questions that you're looking for. And it's a good setup. It really is. So what goes down on paper is the bare-bones skeleton, and the meat is what you then provide verbally in the exam. That's key. I will repeat it again. What goes down on paper is just the skeleton. What you say in the exam is the meat that goes around the skeleton and supports everything. So with that being said, Riley, I've got your case in front of me. Do you have it in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So what I want you to do is just read again for everyone what's in the pre-operative diagnosis column. And then I want you to tell me, on this case, what, and by the way, we've discussed this before, what we're going to talk about is a practical application of reverse engineering. I want you to tell me, after you've read the case, what are the questions, what are the conversations, what discussion would you love to have with your examiner regarding this case, okay? So start by just reading what's in the preoperative diagnosis column.
Okay.
I don't know about other people, but I'm losing you. Riley, can you start again?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. In the preoperative diagnosis, I have a patient with a vulvar abscess and sepsis. Her medical history is remarkable for type 2 diabetes, end-stage renal disease on dialysis, coronary artery disease with stents, BMI 42, and a prior history of vulvar abscess requiring incision and drainage.
Okay. So, by the way, that took about 12, 15 seconds, and you only read what was in the first column. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your whole case list section is 30 minutes. You see, if you have to spend this amount of time reading it out, which you won't read, but presenting it out this way,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take too long. You don't have that luxury. So, okay, so that's what you've got down on paper. You tell me...
So maybe just say vulvar abscess.
Well, but before we get there, what conversation would you love to have? Because based on what you say now will dictate how we're going to word this. So what conversations would you love to have on this case? And by the way, folks, everyone listening in, this is exactly what I want every one of you to do on every one of your cases. Ask yourself, given the pathology that's the clinical situation that this case represents, what conversation would I like to have? And then based on what that answer is, you work out, as you'll see in a moment, how best to enter it on paper. So back to you, Riley. What conversation would you like to have on this case? Where would you like this conversation to go?
I guess I'd like to, this is backwards, but steer it away from talking about antibiotic choice, because that's not what I feel more.
Okay, so we'll come back to that. Okay, so you don't want to talk about antibiotics, okay? What
so
else?
Maybe like the decision for surgery, or you know, when to do an IND versus when to not. I don't know.
Okay. Indications for surgery. Is that really what you want to? Indications for abscess drainage. Is that what you're getting at? I'm trying to understand your head as best as I can right now.
I guess I don't know where I would want to steer it.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to tell you, this might be a difficult case because at the end of the day, a vulvar IND, there's not much to discuss there. So I grant you that, and I think that's why you're struggling. But you should be able to decide what ideally, if they're going to ask me anything on this case, what I want it to be. So you're talking about indications for incision and drainage. So the question now becomes, and you also don't want to talk about antibiotics. That's what I'm getting from you. Are there any other overall considerations you want us to think about as we write out this case for you?
No, I think
any other issues? That's it? Okay, fine. So let's come back to the preoperative diagnosis column. Why don't we simply say vulvar abscess with multiple medical complications? How about that? Or just one is vulvar abscess. The next bullet is multiple medical complications. I've even been able to remove the word with by doing it as a bullet list. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now, we don't need to mention sepsis or diabetes or end-stage renal disease or dialysis or coronary artery disease or stents or obesity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's 60% of what you wrote in that column.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we've shortened it. Now, how do we get them to discuss the indications for the abscess? Let me ask you a question. Now, this is an outside of the exam. This is me talking to you as we're preparing to write your case list.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just briefly describe to me what the abscess looked like, the parameters of the abscess?
On the skin, it actually looked pretty small, but on the CT scan, we knew it was like 8 centimeters deep.
Okay, fine. That's perfect. So I want to introduce some intentional ambiguity in the examiner's mind as to whether or not it was appropriate, your management, and to go in and incise.
Mm-hmm.
So after you've written vulvar abscess multiple medical conditions, maybe we should write, I'm just got to think now, what about this questionable indication for IND? Or just simply, I would put that, questionable indication for IND. And they would then ask you, what do you mean questionable? Correct? That's what the examiner will say if you write that down. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Once they ask you, what do you mean questionable, then you can say, this was a very interesting case. Because when I looked at the vulva, it was actually a very small abscess, no clear-cut edges, no raised and yellow-white roof. I was even wondering, as old as she was, whether or not this might have been a Bartholin's. You see, if you want to introduce a conversation on Bartholin's, what's the difference between a vulvar abscess and a Bartholin's abscess? If you don't want to have that conversation, then don't say that. But okay. I would say questionable indication for IND, and then you're going to say what it looked like. And you say, if, to be quite honest, if I would have just seen this abscess on the vulva macroscopically, I might not have been convinced to drain it. However, she had a CT scan which showed a large abscess, and there was actually no question. And once I saw the CT in conjunction with what I could see clinically on the vulva, it was very clear where the best place to incise was, and that's what I went ahead and did, and pulled out 10, 20 cc's of pus, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand how, but based on how you write it down, you're leading the examiner towards a, mm-hmm. a conversation of your choosing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, you don't have to say yes just because I'm asking you to say yes. You could. Do you really believe it, or you don't really believe it so strongly?
No, I think that makes sense. You're kind of putting a little teaser.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a teaser. Yeah, it's exactly right. So that's how we do the preoperative. In the treatment, you wrote vulval abscess incision and drainage. Well, first of all, you don't have to repeat vulval abscess because you've already said it, okay? Number two,
okay.
Incision and drainage, you can just put, and it's universally recognized, even though it may not be on the list of abbreviations, I would still put down, I'll just put down IND. It's easier for your examiner to read, okay? So we can get rid of five words that way, okay? And
yeah.
Replace it with three letters. And then you've written vulva abscess and drainage, co-management with internal medicine, infectious disease, and general surgery. Do you think the examiner cares who the people were that you co-managed with? Do you think it's relevant to
Probably
them?
Not.
Are they going to ask you a question? Not at all. So all
yeah.
I would write in the treatment column is IND and co-managed. That's all. Remember, what goes down on paper is just the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
If they are curious and they want to know, who did you manage this with, then you give it verbally in the exam. That's the meat.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But you can reduce this column from about 12, 13, 14 words down to three. Okay?
Yeah.
We're busy cleaning it up. We're making it so much easier for the examiner to read. And what they are reading now, each word is really valuable and meaningful and will trigger certain thoughts in your examiner's mind, which is exactly what
mm-hmm.
we want to accomplish. Okay. I'm going to come back to the antibiotics issue. Surgical pathology, I would just say E. coli, culture E. coli, culture
okay.
positive E. coli. So, I mean, and I'm going to remind me to come back to that in a moment. Complications, you've written. And folks, for all of you listening in, I want you just to absorb the general principle of what I'm saying here, of how you can take I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, Riley, but you've been fairly long-winded.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a long-winded presentation and make it very brief and specific to what you want to talk about. So in the complications column, you've written development of additional abdominal wall, vulva, and buttocks abscesses, requiring three additional incisions and incision draining procedures by colleagues. So again, I asked the question, do you think the examiner once he or she has spoken to you about incision of vulvar abscess, do you think it's important for them to know if the subsequent ones were on where they were, the abdominal wall,
no.
vulva, buttocks, or anywhere? It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's not going to add to the case. You understand? Also, do you think it's relevant, and does it add anything to the conversation to say that there were three more INDs as opposed to two or five? That's an internal medicine question. It's not an OBGYN question. So what I would write in the complications column is multiple repeat abscesses with IND. And that's it.
Okay.
Okay. So you see, we've cut the amount of words by probably 75%. And
yeah.
I think based on what I told you in the beginning, you can see how that will make a big difference to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's come back to the antibiotics thing. And this is absolutely 1,000% relevant for everyone listening in, because all of you have infections on your cases. All of you have written antibiotics. And I'm probably, and I'm going to repeat what I may have said previously on prior teleseminars. When it comes to writing down antibiotics and what cultures you got, and this is not you specifically, Riley, I'm talking to everyone else, although it does pertain to you as well, even though you say you don't like talking about antibiotics. What I would encourage you to say in the treatment column is simply antibiotics. You might write IV or PO, but just put antibiotics. Don't give specifics. Because, again, I want you to be short-winded, and I want you to pique the examiner's curiosity. If you tell them exactly what antibiotics you've given, you've reduced the number of questions they can ask you on the subject. So I prefer for you just to simply say antibiotics and leave it to the examiner to ask you in the exam which ones did you give and why. And that can take up another 40, 50 seconds of discussion. And we would assume that if you've written up your cases this way and you've prepared it appropriately, you'd be comfortable to handle that conversation. Now, I'm going to give you a general principle for any patient where you've given antibiotics. You've got to ask yourself, what is the location of the infection I'm trying to treat? Is it the bladder, where it'll be commonly gram-negative bacilli and cocci? Is it the upper respiratory tract, where it'll be commonly gram-positive cocci, maybe bacilli as well? Is it a PID or a TOA, where it's going to be multi-bacterial, and it's going to be gram-positive and gram-negative, cocci and bacilli, aerobic and anaerobic? You know, is it pylo, which will be more gram-negatives and bacilli? Work out what organisms would you expect in that local for infection. And then based on is it gram-positive or negative, cocci or bacilli, aerobic or anaerobic, then you choose your antibiotics. And you show the examiner, I choose these antibiotics because it gave good gram-negative and anaerobic cover. So any time there's pus, you've got to give an anaerobic immediately. Otherwise, sometimes you don't start off with an anaerobic. You only give it subsequently if they don't respond to your first line of antibiotics. So that's the basic principle I want all of you to appreciate. Now, just coming back to you, Riley, very briefly. You don't want to talk about antibiotics. I hear that, but I'm pretty convinced that you, like everyone listening in, probably has throughout your case list at least a half a dozen times where you've mentioned antibiotics as part of the treatment. And so if you've got that down, It does raise the possibility of getting asked a question on the choice of antibiotics. What I might do in your case, if you're not comfortable, understand the basic principle that I mentioned, and then I would just write antibiotics out. And if they asked you, I would take out E. coli. Just don't mention specific organisms. When I say what kind of organisms would you expect in a particular locale, I'm not talking about E. coli or Klebsiella or Proteus. I'm talking about gram-positive, gram-negative, aerobic, etc. So just don't put down which organism. Just put down that you gave antibiotics. And writing, if you can handle this, I would encourage you, and anyone else listening in who's not comfortable to have a conversation on antibiotics, just to learn the basics of what I've just shared with you. And if you say in the exam, Riley, this was a vulvar abscess, and as such, I was expecting gram-negative bacilli, both aerobic and especially anaerobic, and therefore I gave whatever it is, Jensen, Clinda, you know, she also had other comorbidities, so, and she was in renal failure, so all of this might have affected the choice of antibiotics. And you don't have to worry about that, Riley. I would answer the following. Given the fact that this was an vulvar abscess, I gave a broad-spectrum antibiotic covering gentamicin and, covering gram-negatives and anaerobes. And that was my recommendation, and I left it to the internal medicine people and the renal people to decide how to manage the dosage and consider any alternatives given the fact that she was in renal failure. You don't have to know the renal aspect of this. They just want to know that you understand the basic issues as we would be exposed to them from a GYN point of view. So, Riley, the second part that I'm encouraging just to be able to say one sentence on antibiotics, could you be comfortable to do that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello, sorry. Yeah. I would encourage all of you to be able to just say that one sentence, because that's the bottom line when it comes to choosing antibiotics. And the rest is all bells and whistles. It's really not that important. So what I'm saying is a conversation on infection and antibiotics does not and will not be an in-depth conversation. It's just the basics. And I would like to think that what I shared with you over the last 5 minutes or so is the extent of what you need to know. So, Riley, would you be comfortable with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I was really scared. You know, when I was writing it, her length of stay is really long, and so I was scared if I wrote too little, I would be, like, misrepresenting or under-reporting. But you're saying they don't care.
That, as long as it makes sense, you will have written multiple co-management. And if they see 30 days, which they will, I will just share with all of you the easiest way for the examiner to find your complicated cases is just to look at the length of stay. And anything that's more than 4 or more days, basically, has a good chance of having a complication in it, and therein lies the conversation. So they will see it when they see a 30-day stay, but who cares? It's you were there, and again, folks, this is for all of you. In the exam, you provide the meat, you provide the background, you explain. I saw her only for the very first abscess and IND, and she was on the internal medicine service, so I never saw her again. Now just by the way, this is not a good case for what I'm going to tell you, but the examiner, if you say that to them, let me give you another example. You've got an office patient who's coming for infertility, and you saw her for for one visit out of six visits that she saw, but she was seen between you and your two, three colleagues. You can say in that interaction, you can say, look, I only saw her for her second of six visits. She was seen by my colleague for the others. And when I saw her, this is what I was presented with, and this is what I did. And that's totally fine. But understand this. It's totally acceptable and reasonable for your examiner to turn around to you then and say, okay, that's fine, but what would you have done if you would have seen her for the third and fourth and fifth visits? You understand? So just by saying you didn't manage her for the other two abscesses doesn't mean they can't ask you what you would do hypothetically if you were the one seeing her at that time. Now, I said this case is not a good example because without being too under-dramatic, one incision and drainage conversation is the same as any other. So once you've had the conversation on the first IND, it's a brief conversation and there's not much more to add. So it's not a good case to make that point, but the example of the infertility worker is a good case. Do you understand the point I'm making, Riley?
Yes.
Okay. So then you're not worried about the 30-day stay then, correct? You still need to put down 30 days, but you'll just say what you did on the one day that you saw her. Fair enough?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So Riley, I think we've discussed this case. We've handled it nicely. Do you have any questions in this regard? Anything else on this case that you're not sure of?
No, I think you answered all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, good. So listen, folks, very briefly, we're going to call it a day. I again want to encourage you folks, please, you all have cases which are complicated. You're not sure how to write them down. Please, let's talk about it. Riley, let me ask you so that other people can hear your opinion. You seem satisfied about how you're going to write this case up. How do you feel about the experience of being an active participant in the teleseminar? Be honest. If you were crapping in your pants, then say that. I hope that wasn't the case, but I've got broad shoulders. I can take it. Be honest. Tell everyone listening if you think it was worthwhile or not, or what you thought of the experience and the benefit or lack thereof.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was not crapping in my pants or anything.
Good.
Thank you for my individualized attention about a case that I was stressing about how to write it, so I appreciate it.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Look, folks, the bottom line, this is I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I guess I am tooting my horn. This is a unique opportunity for you folks. It's free. I'm not a malignant individual that's going to tear into a candidate. I'm a benevolent guy. And also, you'll notice I never ever mentioned Riley's last name. I don't even have her last name, so they don't give it to me at the office. So you're always going to remain anonymous. So to everyone listening in, please submit cases. Let's discuss them. You've all got complications. Don't be shy. Those are your important ones by and large, because those complicated cases and those cases where things happen that you weren't expecting, those are the ones that you're more likely to be asked questions on. So I want to strongly encourage you folks to submit your case to the office and volunteer to be an active participant in our next teleseminar. Our next teleseminar will be on the 31st of May. So that's in 2 weeks' time from now. The 31st of May will be our next teleseminar. But I'm going to end by saying, Riley, thank you so much. I'm pleased you felt it was worthwhile. Thank you, Riley, and thank you to everyone else for joining in. And we'll call it a day at that. Thank you so much, folks. This then concludes our teleseminar. All the best.